Good evening, Rabosai. Thank you for coming. It's nice to see so many smiley, happy faces. All of you violating Nitzelnacht in the most egregious manner. I saw a story today in my quick research of Nitzelnacht that there's a story from one of the Lubavitcher Rebbes was once caught, I guess maybe by his father or something, learning on Nitzelnacht, and in the end he did tshuva on it. That was the story, that he did tshuva on the fact that he learned on Nitzelnacht. So we perhaps if we learn on Nitzelnacht, it will be tshuva for all the learning that we don't do when we can for the rest of the year. I want to talk about a shaila that you think is theoretical, that you think is less applicable, but I want to say that in the past 2 days I got at least two shailas in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And one of them, interestingly enough, was with a very fascinating source, which will be on the Marim Hakomos. While it was on my screen, the most extreme source that exists in the whole sugya of Avodah Zarah was on my screen. As somebody who occasionally attends this year, he's not here right now, called me with the following shaila. The shaila was somebody in our shul, his family is involved in a certain kind of manufacturing of a certain kind of item. I don't want to say because some of you might be able to intuit who it is. And the question is that this material is sold to churches among many other clients, among them are churches. And the question is, does he have to get involved in his family's business? He's the son of somebody who has this business. And does he have to get involved and stick his head into his family's business and tell them that that might be a problem because they are indeed supplying churches with products that are used in church services. Second shiloh that I got also just this week in the past 2-3 days is somebody involved in real estate. And there's a listing of a certain Jew owns the property, and the listing has not had a buyer for 6 years. And punked, they just got a buyer, a church. So the question is it permitted to sell to a church? And these are just the two shalas they got in the past 3 days.
What about all the shuls that sold out to churches?
Right. So this issue will also apply to a very important question and very common question that I'm sure a number of you might have faced when you went touring, perhaps in Europe, perhaps in Rome, perhaps elsewhere, perhaps even in Israel, unfortunately. Are you allowed to go into a church? Separate and apart from that is a different sugya. Is one allowed to look at, peer at, visit the cloisters near YU in Washington Heights? The cloisters, which is not a church, but it has church art. Is one allowed to peer or gaze at church art? Are you allowed to be? I have a student of mine who's in the fabric business, and apparently there are two clients who buy fabric, either schools who have stages, and behind the stages they have the fabric that hangs down, we have like the parochas lehavdil, and the other big clients are churches. Is he allowed to sell to these consumers, these clients? So all of these shailas involve two issues. First of all, the halachas of lifnei iver, which we're not going to speak about tonight, and sometimes there are certain limitations to the parameters of lifnei iver that might permit you to be two steps removed, meaning the fellow who said that he sells, that his family has a business that sells materials that end up in churches, as well as my student who has a business that sells material, fabric, that is sold to churches. I was matir both of those scenarios for the same reason, because the supplier, in this case the member of our shul or my student, does not sell to the church, but sells to an intermediary, either to a distributor who sells to churches or to a contractor who hangs the drapes, who is hired by the churches to hang the drapes in the churches. In both of those cases, there is the leniency in Lifnei Iver of Lifnei to Lifnei. The Gemara says that, actually about this exact case, the Gemara says that if you want to sell a huge amount, a large bushel of whatever kind of vegetable or plant that they would use in their tikrovis of Avodah Zarah, if you sell large amounts, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? The Gemara says it's not because you're allowed to do things in large. You're allowed to do avodah zarah in large amounts. It's the fact that if you're selling in large amounts, it must be wholesale, not retail. You're selling to a distributor who's going to then subdivide and sell to retail clients who will themselves do avodah zarah. So therefore, for you to directly cause somebody to do avodah zarah, even a guy, of course, that's a violation of lifnei iver, because we know that avodah zarah is one of the zayimitzes b'nei noach. But if you're two steps removed, you're selling to a distributor, and the distributor in turn is selling to a client or a church, you're selling to the drapery hanger, the window treatment man, and he in turn is hired by the church, so you're two steps removed. That's lifnei de lifnei, which is not a violation of lifnei. Even those two cases would be mutar l'chatchila. So that was Baruch Hashem. We got a kula for our membership. Baruch Hashem. Okay, that's always the goal of the rabbi in the first 6 months, to try to chalk up as many kulas as he can. It bodes well for negotiations. Okay, so the second question, of course, that everything really, really hinges on is the question even a question? Is there avodah zarah to start with? So in that regard, let's begin our discussion of the parameters of avodah zarah. Specifically, we're going to focus tonight on the issue of shituf milashon mishutaf, milashon shutfus, which is the discussion of what in English is called the Trinity, when we combine belief in an Elohim with a lowercase e, and therefore a hey, combine a belief with an Elohim together with some other force, be it a person, be it a Holy Ghost, or be it whatever other kind of thing you want to associate with that other thing you call God. So that's what we're going to talk about. Before... Providing.
I don't see trade out with anything in the heart. But to your case, there's a thousand other places you could have bought from.
That's true. That would knock it down to the Issud Rabbanon, which some call an Issud Rabbanon of Lifnei Iver, others call Masele Dei Avi Avera. Either way, it would be Mutter because of Lifnei to Lifnei. Yes, thank you. But before we talk about what Christianity is and what Trinity might or might not be, let's look at what Avodah Zarah in its raw form is and how it evolved. And that evolution, even though it might be Rambam you might have seen before, if we're going to try to focus on certain points in the Rambam that might make very clear indications of what, in fact, perspective of the Trinity might be. Does anyone else need a... Oh, this is yours. Everyone has source sheets? There might not be enough, Baruch Hashem. Okay, Ernie knows it all about Peh. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the very introduction to the Hilchos Avodah Zarah of the Rambam. Now I'm going to draw, again, even if you saw this Rambam before, I'm going to draw your eyes to a few key words that will perhaps at least tell us what the Rambam thinks. Bimei Enosh, early in history, Tov b'nei Adam Tos Gadol. There's a great mistake, obviously, Adam Harishon. We had a group of birthright participants in our house this past Shabbos afternoon, and one of the young ladies raised the question of, if Adam and Eve knew about God, because hey, they were created by Him, so how did it happen that, like, until Avram Avinu, no one knew about God? I mean, what about those? Adam and Eve knew, and Avram knew. What happened in the middle? So that's what the question this Rambam actually comes to answer, which is what I told her. Amru, after the three dots. Hove Elohim baral chokhavim elu v'galgolam lahanagas ha'olam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam Rishon taught Enosh and taught the beginning of humanity that there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And this is the key line, second line. V'chalak lem kavod. Hashem, in His creating of all these forces of the heavens, granted them a certain level of honor and respect that's due them. V'heim shamashem v'sham shalafanav, right? They serve Him. Therefore, this is the key point. Therefore, it's appropriate to give kavod to those mishamshin, to the sun, to the stars, to the moon, that themselves serve Hashem. Why? Because if the king elevates a certain person, like Haman, for example, so therefore, if we would elevate that person, it's an elevation of Hashem. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevated these certain heavenly forces, then for us to honor those heavenly forces would itself be a kavod to who? To Hashem Himself. And therefore, the origins of Avodah Zarah really began as what? As a service to Hashem. Just not, I don't even want to say indirectly, but I'm praising that, this is the first stage, I'm praising that which Hashem ascribes praise to. Fine. That's the first stage. That continued to the next two lines, and the bottom line of that first halacha, l'shtachvos l'mulam, eventually it evolved that people would actually bow down to these heavenly forces, l'hasik rotzen habori b'daitam hara, with their mistaken notions that they thought they'd be able to elicit gain from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bowing to these things that themselves are served, are created by Hashem, and Zehaya Ikra Avodas Kochavim. I underline these words. Zehaya Ikra Avodas Kochavim. Fascinating. If you would have asked me, what is Ikra Avodas Kochavim, what would I have said? If I'd have asked you, what's Ikra Avodas Kochavim, you would probably have said one of two things. You would probably have said polytheism, or you would have said idolatry. Paganism is one of those two, right? Neither of those is what you have here. There's not idolatry, you're not bowing down to Maisi de Adam, nor in this description are we talking about polytheism. We're not talking about multiple gods. We're talking about one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Borei Olam, Yisparach Shmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchem Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who happen to have created certain things, and we bow down to those to sort of connect ourselves to the Eibishter, the Borei Olam, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchem Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this the Rambam calls, I wouldn't have even called that Avodah Zarah at all, and the Rambam calls this Ikra Avodah Zarah. Fascinating. Now, how did life evolve from there on? Continues the Rambam, V'achash Archa Hayam, as time passed, there were further individuals, B'nei Adam, Nevi'ei Sheker, false prophets, V'amru, they said, oh, I had a certain vision, God told me, He said, serve this and serve that, and this is how you do the mitzvahs. These are the mitzvahs that you have to do. Third line, v'yischil kozum achem, other liars stood up, loma shakoch of atzmo, this heavenly body itself appeared to me. Okay, fourth line, v'kevin sh'ar chayam, with the passing of time, nishtaka hashem anechbet v'anonim epi kol yukum. What was the one thing that until now was the basis for everything that just seemed to be forgotten entirely? God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source for all this got, you know, as things evolved, the original cause sort of fell out of fashion. Velohi kiru v'nimtzu kol ha'aretz. So then all the children, the people who are not as that intelligent, you know, they knew, well, you bow down to the sun, you bow down to the moon, you bow down to whatever else, and they forgot the tzur olamim. And that's what happened until Avram Avinu, when he sort of realized you have to put Hashem back into the picture. That's the evolution. Now, if we stop right here, you already see an indication, the Rambam, we're calling Ikra Avodas Kochavim, of serving something that is an intermediary. Maybe it's even less than an intermediary. Maybe it's even something more subtle than an intermediary. It's actually serving Hashem just indirectly. No, it's clear. It's clear if you read the rest. Yeah, but if you look at the rest of the, I only have two halachas here. There's more of the perek. It's clear that it is. Yeah, the real thing, certainly. Fine. So now let's talk about one other point, which is sort of a tangent and not really part of any. When the Rishonim talk about, they don't mention this Gemara, source number two. But I just want to, just as far as, you know, we're talking specifically about Christianity and the Trinity, which involves one of the three parts of the Trinity is Oso Ha'ish. So let's just talk about what the role of bowing down to people are. It's an explicit Gemara. Itmar Ha'ovid Avodah Zarah Me'ahava Me'ira, which is not our discussion. There's a totally different issue if a person does Avodah Zarah because he's forced to, not because he wants to, is he Chayv Patur? And Abaye says, I'll show you that you're Chayav. Until now, that's not significant. Now is the important thing. Tesani, he brings a bris. Lo tishtachav elohem. Adiyuk, lahem yata mishtachave, aval mishtach, ata mishtachave lo adam kamoscha. You are permitted to bow down to a person. If we stop here, sounds that like that, oh, the isra of Avodah Zarah is only to bow down to some godly force. But people, that's not considered Avodah Zarah. Oh, but the Gemara concludes, Yachlof yu nevad kahaman, perhaps even if he's deified, like Haman was, Talmud Lomer, that would be off limits, lo sav deim, an extra ribui, Rashi points out, yiserehu, and therefore bowing down to a person, if he would be deified, would taka be Avodah Zarah. Hold on, please. The Riyam says in the next source, in source number three, what does it mean? What was the Havamina that you could bow down to a person before the Gemara had that extra pasuk in the middle of the first line? Lishtach was the fun of Lechabdo. the Havamina was that just you're allowed to bow down to a person physically. Bow down, not in the religious sense, but physically. I could bow down to a person, like in the same way when I meet an important person or somebody honorable, I might actually bow down to him. That would be mutter. Aval, at the end of the first line, hishtachavus shel elokus, if it's a bowing of service, of godly service, afal pi she'eno se'u elo amamish, even though you're not actually deifying this personality, asurihi. Fascinating. If we would, again, the Ran might not be talking about Christianity here. There is another Ran elsewhere where he does talk about Christianity. But here he's just talking about bowing down to a person who is deified but not defined as Elokus. Again, let's read that last, the end of the first line. Imhish tachavas shel Elokus. It's bowing down some kind of divine, religious service. Afal pisheno osehu Eloa mamish, even though you're not making him a god by bowing him down or serving him as a god, if it's a divine service, a bowing to this human, that would be aser. And here we have the underlined line. I mentioned that there was this the most intense line anywhere in any Rishon, the most intense line you could have in any Rishon, is this line in the round that I underlined. Deba'avodas elilim uvechol avizraha. Not only for Avodah Zarah, but all the accessories of Avodah Zarah, all the applications of Avodah Zarah, this is the famous Shitas Haran, that you have to give up your life not just for doing the sin of Avodah Zarah, meaning, what's Avodah Zarah? The Mishnah tells us four things. Either Mishtachaveh, or Maktir, or what are the other two? What? Makriv? No, Shchita, and there's a fourth, I don't remember. Is it Nisach, could be Nisach, and of course, anything else that's Avodah Zarah Bekach. But says the Ran, not only for those four or five specified things, but any extensions or outside applications would be chayav to give one's life for. Funny story, which is a great story, which deserves to be repeated, especially by virtue of the fact from whom it was said. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who, if one wants to say, there is the most broad-minded, open-minded, Talmud Chacham, that well-rounded, intellectually knowledgeable person of great halachic stature who's lived recently, was asked the following question. Could you go to any of these churches to see the art? Notre Dame Cathedral, whatever other cathedrals to see the art. So he said, he mentioned this Ran. He said, the Ran says that not just for Avodah Zarah, but that you have to give your life rather than do anything of Avizrayu. Avizrayu would mean to sort of, for example, if you are being chased by a murderer who has a knife or a gun and you want to run away from him into a church to save yourself, so you run into a church to escape a stabbing, that would be Avizrayu d'Avodah Zarah. What does the Ran here say? The Ran here says that as Yahar V'Yavar, you still wouldn't be allowed to run into a church. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the very specific case I just described in terms of running away from somebody who's trying to kill you. And this Ran was what he quoted. If you see it's Machlokes Rishonim, if Avizrayu d'Avodah Zarah is Yahar V'Yavar, what kind of question are you asking me? Should you be walking into a church to enjoy the art? And if that's what Rav Lichtenstein would say, we can only imagine what people who might not have his appreciation of the arts would probably hold. We'll leave it at that. Now, let's dig in one more step. Look at two Rishonim, not in Halacha, not on Shas, and these Rishonim Taka are not really brought down in the general conversations that the Achronim talk about when they talk about Christianity and the Trinity. But I found it on the pasuk Zoveach LeElohim Yacharam, and I say it with a hey because it's not talking about Hashem. One who sacrifices to gods, to forces, to deities, shall be destroyed, shall be uprooted, other than Lashem Levado. Zakti Ibn Ezra. What's this contrast that the Pasuk is setting up? If you do this, you'll be destroyed, other than if it's for Hashem. But there's one extra word. The last word of the Pasuk is Levado. Zakti Ibn Ezra. Actually, let's see the Sfarno, because the Sfarno is shorter and clearer. Zaveach le'Elohim, l'chol ha'elohos yachtav. Even if you zaveach to the plural, to many, to all the gods, Even if you include within that polytheistic service HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvado v'atzmo, nevertheless, says the Pasuk, you should be destroyed, Yacharam. Only what is okay? Bilti l'Hashem levado. Meaning, Hashem with other forces. I mean, that's, I think, explicit reference, you know, to the way, you know, Christianity would understand the Trinity. That you're sacrificing or serving all the various parts or gods or parts of gods, and even if you include HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your service, that would still be a violation of Yacharam, of deserving to be destroyed, because it's not Lashem Levado with that unique inyun of Achdus as we perceive Achdus.
They say the Trinity, are they worshiping Hashem too? Hashem,
but that's part of the Trinity. Yes.
The same Hashem.
Yes. That's a question. Yes.
Same Hashem plus.
Let's assume that the Trinity. I'm not the biggest. This is not my area of expertise. But let's assume that the Borei Olam who created the world in 7 days, together with Yashka, together with the Holy Spirit, whatever he is, right, or she is, or it is.
When that woman got fired at the university recently, they had these two people there, and they said, isn't it really the same thing, Islam? And the guy, the Christian guy, said, no, we do not worship only Hashem. We worship this whole Trinity thing. It's not the same.
Okay, so let's start looking at some Rambams. I know before you came, you said, yeah, I know, there's a Shein Shitz, a Rambam who says that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. I know it already, so I don't need to come. So you probably do know it, but it's worth seeing the Rambam inside. Because when you look at the Rambam, you come out with something fascinating. Fascinating. And this is going to be very significant for anybody in business, especially those people who live near Paramus, New Jersey. Why Paramus, New Jersey? Because, much to the chagrin of people who like the Garden State Plaza and who like all these gigantic malls off Route 17, they are all in Paramus. And Paramus is the one county that still has
the Blue Laws.
The Blue Laws. Okay. Now let's see. The Blue Laws meaning that they're not allowed to have a store open on Sunday. Because it's the day of rest. Let's see the Rambam, Pei Shem Shnayis, and source number 8. Now the Rambam says the same point in a few places. The Pei Shem Shnayis, even though it's not as authoritative as the Yad, and I'd rather read to you things from the Yad, I give you my word, he says the same Yisod in the Yad, but it's just more explicit in the Peish HaMishnayis, so let's read the Peish HaMishnayis. Elu HaChagim, so the Rambam is talking about different halachas of Avodah Zarah that are discussed in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah in terms of not doing business with Goyim in the proximity of their holidays. This week, in the past years, I always forgot to give my landlord his yearly tip, you know, in time, and I always remember just about, like, you know, 5 p.m. on December 24th. So this year, I remember I told my wife, you know, we have to give the, apparently you give the garbage man here,
yes,
where I come
the
from.
Mailman.
Okay, the garbage man, the mailman, the bus driver, the babysitter, so I remembered this week, Hashem, this year I remember, first time I remembered in a long time, that I told my wife, make sure you give the tips early in the week, so we don't have to give it, that we don't have to give it today, so close. Let's see the Rambam. Ela Chagam and Iskarim. He's referring to certain holidays that were mentioned in a Mishnah that were well known. Eitzel HaNotzrim. You know what the word Notzrim means? What's the source of the word Notzrim?
Nazareth.
Thank you.
Where is it?
Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. V'chein kol Notzrat. V'chein kol Chag Eitzel kol Ha'umos b'chol Gilui Ha'aretz im Hayu Avdei Avodah Zarah Yechuya b'mash Zach. You'll be punished with whatever punishment is appropriate. Clearly, he's talking about Avdei Avodah Zarah synonymously with Notzrus, with Christianity. V'da. It's not going to be clearer than the next line. It's as clear as you could get. Shezos Ha'um HaNotzrus. Maybe it's a different religion nowadays. Okay. Ha'omedes B'tainas HaMashiach. Messianic Notzrus. Messianic people who have something to do with Nazareth. Al-Khiv Kitoseh, with all the different factions and subdivisions that they might have. Kulam of the Avodah Zarah. Ve'edehem Kulam Asur, and it's us to do business with them on all of their holidays. V'no'agim imam b'chol ha-Torah. K'mosh no'agim imam of the Avodah Zarah. All the halachas that apply to Avodah Zarah apply to these Christians. V'yom Rishon. Every single Sunday of the year, 52 Sundays a year, who mechlal edem shel goyim are subject to the to the limitation where the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do business with them on their day of holiday plus
3 days
before. Machlokes if that day holiday is included in the 3 days or not. Right. Look at this. Lefikach, ein mutar lasis lasis imam in hamashiach. One is not permitted to do business with a Christian biyom rishon. Not only that, but look at the Rambam and Avodah Zarah in source number 9. Hanotzim of the Avodah Zarah, heim, v'yom rishon hu yom eidam, it is their holiday on Sunday, it's their holiday, and therefore, l'fikach os l'asis l'asis mehem b'eretz Yisrael, I don't know why it's Yisrael, that's a different discussion, yom chamishi, v'yom shishi, shebechol Shabbos v'Shabbos. One cannot do business with them on any Thursday or Friday, v'ein tzorech lama yom rishon atzmo. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and certainly Sunday. Which leaves you what days of the week to do business?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Like Monday, Tuesday, after, and Wednesday.
Isn't there a sheet you can't do it after also? Tomorrow,
that's
Sanhedrin,
so that's,
you can't do it
that's
after
business,
also.
So that's. Right. Yeah, I hear. Okay. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Mishnah talks about that. Now, let us just see the contrast that the Rambam has in source number 10, lest we think that this is to do with all religions and the Rambam is just, you know, not this is just one thing that he's facing. No. The Rambam is going to say, in the context of Yisurei in Ma'achalos Asu, source number 10, in the context of Stam Yenam or Yayin Nesech, he'll say, if you have a Ger Toshav, so his wine is Mutar Bahana, because he's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, and therefore, even though you're not allowed to drink it, it's Stam Yenam, but it's not Yayin Nesech. V'chein kol akum at the end of the first line, she'en oveid avodah zarah, kagon el hayishma elim. So here the Rambam says clearly that Islam is not avodah zarah, and therefore their yayin will not be yayin nesech, and at worst will be stam yayin, which will be aser v'shtia, but it is permitted to get hana. Aval osam ha'ovda avodah zarah, stam yayinim is aser b'hana. There was a fascinating shaila that was asked in the yeshiva. There was a fellow in Smicha who was a wonderful ben Torah, and he was a Baal Tshuva. And he got engaged to a wonderful young lady who was also Baal As Tshuva. And that wonderful young lady came from a very upstanding, traditional home. Not religious, but traditional, very traditional. And as a wedding gift, the father, the future father-in-law, gave to his future son-in-law a very, very extensive collection of
wine
and all kinds of things from his wine cellar. So there, the shaila wasn't so much a shaila of this, which is a different shaila. Do we consider not only just Jew to be, make a problem of Yayin Nesach, Sam Yenam? That's a different discussion, Binyan Sion, which we're not going to get into now. But the issue there was that he never sold his chametz. They kept Pesach. They wouldn't eat chametz, but they never sold his chametz. And therefore, it was all chametz shalva. It was thousands of dollars of chametz shalva lechem pesach.
Was he not good to kol
hamira? He didn't say kol hamira. Aramaic was not his mother language, so fine. So the Rambam, I believe, is relatively clear as day that the Trinity would constitute avodah zarah. But we never really talked about why should it be. The Rambam is saying that it is avodah zarah, but what is it about Christianity, what is it about the Trinity that would qualify it as Avodah Zarah? After all, where does it say that not Yichud Hashem means Avodah Zarah? Where do you see that not believing in Yichud Hashem is there for Avodah Zarah?
Can I expand the question? I'm sorry. And I hate to do this to certain people, but what's the difference between, we talk about by Askim Zidasa, Zerantin, Kakabhut Kadishin, and Atika Kadisha? What's the difference?
Okay, you're asking a very good question. What's the difference between these different spheros and Trinity, which would be the three parts? Lahavdil, yes. The question is exceptional. The question is a very strong question. It can't be discounted.
The Kabbalah is reflections of Hashem. The things that emanate from here. It's not the essence of Hashem. Kabbalah is the things that emanate from Hashem. It's not that's his essence. They're not saying that Kabbalah can say that Hashem is divided
into many parts. I'll regal achas if I had to answer it in a as uninitiated answer as I could be, because I am the last person to go to if you have questions about the spheros and about Chalkal Tapuchin. I know a lot about apples, but it's more like the Granny Smith, Macintosh, Empire, Fuji type than the Chalkal Tapuchin. It would be as follows, that And again, you're going to have to speak to a theologian to understand how the Christians understand it. But the spheros, as I understand it, are not divisibilities, are not aspects of Hashem. They are just ways and extents to which Hashem interacts with us. But in terms of there's one Hashem, there's one indivisible Hashem, but in his interaction with a Chumri Yisdika world, there are different extents. I'm scared to use the word emanations, because I don't know what that means. Yeah, you can use the words, but just because you use a fancy word, that doesn't answer the question. Right, you can use fancy word, but that's semantic, it doesn't answer the question. I don't know what that means either. I would say that there's one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he deals with you in the same way I have a bunch of children. With one child, I deal with a certain way. With another child, I deal with it a certain way. With another child, I sort of keep away from him because I don't want to step on his toes. Another child, I'm very involved with him because that's how he works best. So, of course, boiling things down to an incredibly imbecilic level, but perhaps that would be... But the question is a very strong question, and don't doubt that there are many, perhaps... in the camp of the Rambam and Udi Imei, who might have raised your question before you.
What about the concept of the Shechina?
Let's move on. Same thing with the Shechina, same thing. That the Shechina is just how Hashem, the singular Hashem, interacts with us, but it's not saying that there are different aspects of Hashem himself. Let's continue. The main points, if we have to boil down, what about the Trinity, what about Shittuf, which we'll talk about more perhaps in a moment or two, really does constitute Avodah Zarah is the following. First of all, part of Christian doctrine is, one is Shituf, which we just saw from the various Mefarshei HaTorah, we just saw from the Rambam's description that defining Hashem plus is itself Avodah Zarah. And even if there would be, and there's a whole machlokus among Christianity, there's Unitarians and there's Trianism, whatever, so it could be there are certain Unitarian sects of Christianity that believe in more of an achdus of the three parts of their Godhead, whatever that means, the Rambam would still say it's Avodah Zarah, because it's a separate part of Christian doctrine, which is the fact that there's Yeshu, the fact that there's Oso HaIsh, is somehow invested with a godly something. Meaning, incarnation is saying that God, or some aspect of God, has physicality. That in and of itself would constitute Avodah Zarah. Even if even if a guy were to find himself a Unitarian kind of tradition within the various strands of Christianity that would not believe in a three-part whatever, they would still, the fact that they believe in Yeshu and also Ha'ish would itself determine that since they're attributing deity to a human, that's saying that there's a physical aspect to the Bari Olam, that itself would also separately constitute Avodah Zarah. Let's move on, because now we have to get to the Meiri. The most fascinating shita in the world is the Meiri, and just before we start, there is no other Rishon, period. There's no other Rishon who says, like the Meiri. We do not paskin like the Meiri, although, if you look in the contemporary poskim, they all point out the Meiri, and there was a number of people, poskim gedolim, in the past 80 years, who did try to rely on the Meiri to some varying levels of Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog, my father got smicha from Rav Herzog. The Bochin was Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv, before he became who he later became, gave the Bechinas for Rav Herzog. So Rav Herzog was very disappointed in 1948, or a few years after that, when Israel set up its policies, its set of laws. Rav Herzog wrote a sefer trying to figure out how you could run a society, a real state, based on halacha. And he was terribly disappointed when it didn't end up how he had hoped, it was how he had dreamed. In that Sefer, he is Somech on the Me'iri, in a certain sense, Bules Breira, because if there's any hope to have any kind of democracy where there could be some kind of freedom of religion, the only way you're ever going to be able to get that is through the following Me'iri. So let's see the Me'iri, the famous Me'iri. But even if you know the Me'iri who holds that Christianity might not be Avodah Zarah, in fact, nothing nowadays, as long as it's an organized religion, might constitute Avodah Zarah, but how he says it is incredibly fascinating. Let's look at source number 11. What does the word Nazari mean?
Nazareth.
Nazarene. Vare. Asks the Me'iri the question that bothers all the Rishonim, and most importantly, Tosas, who's Nogea to us, which is how we paskin. We're going to learn Tosas after the Me'iri. Tosas is going to make his way to the Ramah, which is going to be how we paskin. But either way, the question that everyone deals with is, how in the world do we do business? We just learned the Rambam. According to the Rambam, I'm not allowed to do business with a guy on Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. Vare, all of our Altizedes who lived in all of the inhabited Western world, in all of Europe, were all doing business with a goyim Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So how are they able to do that? That's the question. How did we explain away what prevalent practice was? That was the question that all the Rishonim were bothered by. That's what the Remeir asked. They do it even on Sunday, even on holidays. We do business with goyim. Says the Meiri. Ikra dvarim nirli. Shadvarim elu kulam lo nemru ela al ovdei ha'alilim etzirur ha'sem etzlamehem. All this stuff in Masechet Avodah Zarah about not doing business with Goyim, etc., on their holidays, before their holidays, that's all talking about those people. Aval, look at these words. Bizmanim halalu. Mutu legamre. Everything is mutter. Ah, look at the next thing. Umashar b'gemara notzri l'olam asu. It's a mafursha gemara. When was the Gemara written? When was the Gemara concluded? Ravina Viravashi. When did Ravina Viravashi live?
500.
Around the year 500 of the Common Era. When was Christianity established? 200-300 years before that. So Christianity was around then. The early Judeo-Christians were then. The Gemara talks about Nazri and talks about Christianity as a religion. Nazri l'olam aser. Listen to what he says. Listen to what the Meir says. Animi farsho, nothing to do with Nazareth. Animi farsho miloshen. Notzrim ba'im me'eretz mercha ka'amr b'yirmiya. There's a pasuk in Yirmiya. The Meir is in his Bekiyas, finds a pasuk in Yirmiya. Shekara osam ha'am notzrim. Why? Al shem nevuchad? Next word, netzar.
They're Babylonian.
V'yadua shetzelem ha'shemesh ha'yi b'bavel. The sun god was in Bavel. And what was the day of the sun god? For some reason, Sunday was the sun day of the sun god. Oh, makes sense. Sun. Okay, great. V'shekol av nevuchadnetzar, you obdil lo, all of the avdim vuchad netzar worshipped the sun, therefore it was Sunday, and therefore this religion called Nazri, which is the Babylonian religion, the ancient Babylonian religion from thousands of years ago, we know nothing about today, it doesn't exist anywhere today, that had a sun god and had this thing on Sunday, that was the Nazri of the Gemara. And therefore any Christians who you know, let's see the next Lashon of the Meiri, who's going to be incredible. Status source number 12, we're going to have to skip straight to the underlying lines just for the matter of time. Umikol Makom, says the Meiri. This is the most famous four words in the whole Sugya. In all of the literature of all the Rishonim and the Achronim, this is the most famous four words. Umikol Makom. Umos hageduros bedarchei hadasos. The nations that are
bounded,
maybe is a good word. B'darchei hadasos, in the civilized, formalized religious life, u'ma'amina b'mitzius yisbarach l'achdus av yichol. Do they believe in an all-powerful God? Even though they messed up a little bit, there's no din of avodah zarah. Shita Sameiri is that anyone nowadays who's part of a formal religion who's not a barbarian, some pagan barbarian of the ancient world that you might read about in the ancient books, those are all the bad guys. Anyone from medieval times who's part of some formalized religion, Christianity included, Islam included, are not in any way, shape, or form connected to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah that all of the Masechet Avodah Zarah speaks about, and therefore is, according to the Meiri, you could do any of the things that we mentioned at the beginning of this year. You could walk into a church, You could do business with whoever you want. You could sell whatever you want to whomever you want, because it's not Avodah Zarah. We do not paskin like Avodah Zarah. Yayin, Nesef, that's Asur Bahano, that will not exist for Zman Azeh, but Stam Yainim for all games still does exist. That's Asur Rabbanim. Let's finish off with the Shita, the third Shita of the, sounds funny, the third Shita of the Trinity, and that is Tosus. Tosus is very, the words, you see I gave you an English translation because you'll see why when you look at the words of Tosus, why you need a historian to give you, to help us with the English translation. But the Gemara, the Tosus in Sanhedrin is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that we're not allowed to make, and this is a halacha that, I was actually speaking to Rabbi Olbem about this Sunday morning. Are you allowed to make, normally when people make partnerships nowadays, if we have any lawyers here, you know that there's such thing that Jews do are involved in partnerships here or there. Partnerships, usually people think of in one problematic area, and that is for Shabbos, that we shouldn't get, what? That's what we're going to talk about right now. Yeah, the Gemara says that there's a more fundamental problem, that you're not allowed to, I don't know if it's more fundamental, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to make a shutvus in Manachri, says source number 14. Why? Because in the midst of your disagreement, if there would be a disagreement or any dissolution of assets, Shami Yitzchayev lo Shvua, one, the Nachri would be obligated of Shvua to you in order to protect his claim. V'nishma b'avod azara shalo. V'atorah amra lo. Thank you. Yishoma, not Yishoma. Yishoma alpich shall not be heard. Not, it shall not be spoken on your mouths, but it should not be heard, meaning you can't cause somebody else to say a shvua b'shem avodah zarah. Says Tosus. Tosus bothered by, what do you mean you can't do a shutvus? After all, we know that we all have shutvus in with Goyim, right? Every accounting firm and law firm in New York is Klein and Friedman and, you know, Mick somebody or other. Rabbeinu Tam, at the end of the source number 15, the end of the line, Rabbeinu Tam Omer, Mutar lekabel hashvua. You're allowed to take the shvua. Why? Look, let's see. After the three dots. Mikom akum. Bizman hazeh, kulon nishboin bekadoshim shalahem. Anyone want to venture what that word means? They swear by their So if you look at other Rishonim, when I first saw Dr. Berger, those of you know Dr. Berger from Queens, he's a brilliant Ben Torah. When I first saw his translation as saints, I said, come on, you're talking for like a historian. When I saw more and more and more Rishonim, I realized that the Rishonim, yes, when they say Kadoshim, they are referring to saints. On one of the Marmokos here, you'll see that explicitly. We're not going to have time to see it. Ve'ein tov simbahen elohus, that they don't hold them to be divine. They swear by the saint. They swear by saint so-and-so, saint so-and-so, who are not divine. Oh. Even though they mentioned God and they're referring to Davar Acher, that's a nice way of saying Jesus. And B, Gam this is the key line. Even though they are taka invoking both HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world, with Davar Acher, with whatever other aspect of their divinity that they believe in, whatever other part of the tripartite Godhead, says their Tosfos, that's not us, sir. Look at the last five words. D'bnei Noach lo nizhru al kach. What do those five words mean? D'bnei Noach lo huzhru al kach. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. This line of Tosfos makes its way straight to the Shulchan Aruch, and this is how we Ashkenazim Paskin. This is the key line with which we'll finish. Does Avodah Zarah, is Christianity subject to Avodah Zarah for Ashkenazim? Says the Rama in Hilchos Beis Knesses, interestingly enough, V'yesh mekilim basi yeshutas im ha'akusim bizman hazeh. Kusim, I should have shown you somewhere else, there's another place in these Marmakomas where Kusim was probably a censure. Mishum why she'ein hakusim bezman hazeh nishbim b'avodas elidim v'av halgav demazkirim havodas zara mikom akom kavanos l'otzer shemayim v'aretz. Even though they talk about whatever they mean the God who created the world. Ella, this is the point. Shemishat fin shem shemayim v'davar acher. They mention God and davar acher and also ish. So says Tosus. Tosos and the Ramah citing Tosos, that's not going to be a problem. That shouldn't be aser. To cause them to do that is not going to violate lifnei iver. Why? Look at the last word of Tosos. Turn back the page, please. What was the last word of Tosos? The last word on source number 15? The underlined words of the last word in source number 15. You notice that the last word of the Ramah, who paraphrased the entire Tosus, changes that last word. And that's because of the following. If you look at Tosus, this is what the Nodeb Yehuda says, as quoted in the Pesachei Chu in source number 17, which we will not read because we don't have time. The Nodeb Yehuda says, all that is permitted, that we saw in Tosus that's permitted, is you're allowed to cause somebody to swear in his name, in God's name, in his other God's name. You know why? Because lo nizharu al kach, goyim are bound by how many mitzvahs b'nei Noach? Seven. One of them is avodah zarah. Is one of them not to swear in an avodah zarah name? No. That would have been an eighth. Serving an avodah zarah is one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Not to swear in the name of an avodah zarah is not one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And therefore, says the Nodeb Yehuda, what did Tosfos mean when he says lo nizharu al kach? Goyim are not nizhar to not to swear in the name of avodah zarah. That's not one of their mitzvos. So they can't do avodah zarah. They can't do shituf. Christianity is avodah zarah, but they're not prohibited to swear in the name of X, Y, or Z. That's still mutter for them, and therefore you could cause your business partner to swear in the name of avodah zarah because you're not causing him to do avera. That's not one of his seven averas. But what is the Trinity? Tosfos isn't saying, it's avodah zarah. Comes the Ramah and says, not like the Nodeb Yehuda I told you. Comes the Ramah and says, what does it mean, b'nei noach lo nizharu al kach, b'nei noach lo nizharu on? They're not nizharu al shituf. Meaning there's two worlds of avodah zarah. There's avodah zarah for Jews, and avodah zarah for goyim. Jews can't do avodah zarah. Jews can't do shituf. For us, it's avodah zarah. For a goy, avodah zarah has a different definition. Avodah zarah means as long as you believe in the Creator, you're good. What if you believe in the Creator plus? Avodah zarah plus some other godheads, parts of the Godhead? That's fine for a guy. That's the Shitas HaRamah. We come out, halacha l'maisa, 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 amachlokes achronim, how to understand this Tosus. The Ramah here sounds like he understands that goyim are not bound by Shitav, and therefore goyim, therefore Christianity would not be considered subject to called avodah zarah. The Nodeb Yehuda, many other achronim assume that shituf is equally also. The only thing that goyim are allowed to do is they're allowed to swear however they want to swear. But as far as avodah zarah is concerned, they have the same avodah zarah that we have, and just like we can't do shituf, so too they can't do shituf. And that's what does come out bottom line. I want to share with you a very beautiful minchas aluzer. Source number 92, which we won't read inside, and we're going to finish with this. It's a nice little story. They used to have, in the shtetl, they used to have a clock in the middle of the city. Where would the clock be? Top of the church. Are you allowed to look at the clock? Okay, so in the context of the whole Minchas Aluzer's fiery tshuva, he says the following. Is it how much of a halachic argument we could argue about? But says the, how could you possibly say that Christianity is not a avodah zarah? For all of our generations, for the past 1,000 years, all of our Zaydas gave up their lives literally. They were literally moser nefesh, not just moser nefesh, but they literally were willing to kill themselves in some places so that they wouldn't fall prey to Christianity. And you're going to go ahead and taina that, oh, it's shituf, and with your lamdas, it's not considered avodah zarah. You don't have, come on. You're undermining the tradition of what we've assumed for all of history. To avoid, to be willing to let ourselves die rather than be baptized. Just a very emotional kind of reaction that the Minchas Elazar strongly, strongly sides with the version of the Nodeb Yehuda, not the Ramah. The Nodeb Yehuda, that the only thing that's permitted for a goyim is that they could swear however they want, pataka. to serve Avodah Zarah, Shituf would be Asur, and therefore Jews would consider, and this is the general consensus of the post-Kim Zman Hazeh, that we do consider Kushiyani, certainly for Jews. For Goyim, okay, a little bit more of a machlok, certainly for us, we would consider Kushiyani to be Avodah Zarah. That's mostly the bottom line, and therefore all the shilas that I asked in the beginning, if you don't have a heter of within the parameters of the Fnei Iver, whatever shilas of Avodah Zarah, we would consider Kushiyani, according to most posts, the majority of the posts, it seems, to yes, constitute Avodah Zarah, because the Shituf would be considered Avodah Zarah, like the Rambam, not like the Meiri, and even this Tosus who holds that maybe Shituf is not Aser for Bnei Noach, that is subject to dispute, and certainly for us it would be considered Avodah Zarah. But again, in terms of for Goyim, that remains this Machlokas, Raman, or Debi Huda. Thank you very much for coming. Have a wonderful evening.